Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day again. And now, Lord, as we go into your word, as we go into the words of the wisest man who have ever lived outside of you, Lord Jesus, King Solomon, Lord, as he talked about what a godly woman would be. So, Father, we turn this over to you. I ask that you remove me from it and just let the Spirit speak for yourself. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. Well, as been mentioned several times, today is the day that we pause to remember and celebrate our mothers and our grandmothers, and if blessed, even our great-grandmothers. Now, there is a wonderful text, and it's already been read in part up here from the Bible, Proverbs 31. Now, I know that that last is attributed to King Lemuel, but most folks think that's just a pseudonym for Solomon, and that's the camp I fall in. But he speaks to the issue of being a godly woman. What does a godly woman slash mother look like? What do they act like? How do they bless us? And what gives them strength? Now, brothers and sisters, we know when I do a funeral for an elderly lady or even a middle-aged lady that has passed, and this person is a saint of God, Proverbs 31 is the go-to text. But, you know, sometimes we need to understand that it's for more than just remembering a woman. It's a plan. It's a book of directions on how a godly woman should live. Now, we can each recall a godly characteristics of a wonderful woman in our lives. Now, brothers and sisters, I am not so naive. And I do understand that not everyone will have had godly parents or godly grandparents. But if we search hard enough in our memories, we will find someone, some lady, some woman that has influenced our lives in a godly way. It might be a grandmother, it might be an aunt, it might be a teacher, or it may be a friend that lived out all the attributes that are given in this text. There are several examples of godly mothers in the Bible. What about Moses' mom? She wanted to save her child, so what did she do? She put him in the bulrushes in a basket and floated him down the Nile. His sister Miriam accompanied him on the side to watch where he went. And you know, in God's providence, even though the Egyptian princess found Moses, guess who got to feed and take care of Moses? His mom. Another woman we think about is Hannah, the mother of Samuel that desired her child so much, she went to the temple and she prayed so hard and so fiercely that the priest thought she was drunk. But she wasn't. She was pouring her heart out to God. And then our last example, let's just look at Mary, the mother of the Lord, willingly submitting to her God to be the servant that which Christ would bring into the world. Well, these are examples. But we're going to get in today's text now. We will go through it and then we'll break it down. Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 10. Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her husband, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in her gates. Now, I could spend all day on that text alone, extolling the virtues listed of a godly woman. But I want to concentrate on just a couple of verses. And I feel that in today's world, the situation we find ourselves in, this insight is especially important. Verse 25 through 27. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, ladies, I am purposefully aiming this at the women of today. You and all other women need to hear what God says how a woman should act. And brothers and sisters, we know that there are a lot of women in society at large that don't want to have anything to do with being a woman. And you can take that any way you like. They want to be something different. But what does God want a woman to be? And I mean a real woman. Not girls imitating women, nor fools who are men pretending to be women. This is for women who desire to be godly and blessing, and a blessing to what and who God has given them. So pay attention, ladies. But men, I want you to pay attention also. Because if you look at the one God has given you, whether it be your wife or your mother or your daughter, look for these attributes. Praise her when you see these things, and love her no matter what. The role of a godly woman is an awesome and powerful responsibility. And it's not to be taken lightly or presumptuously. It is a God-given role used to sustain and nourish those that God has given you. The text says that a woman of God has strength and honor as her clothing. A tough but loving demeanor is necessary to be a godly mother. As we used to say, the peach limb of discipline is to be used with the caress of a caring heart. In other words, even though she spanks your rear end, she still loves you. Godliness is a cloak of compassion, mercy, forgiveness, and reverential fear of the Almighty that is worn in such a way that all may see it in your life. This cloak must be copied. It must be hemmed. It must be fitted to the generations that follow you. God will hold you, mothers and fathers, accountable for the way that we lead the young members of our families. This is not a my life, my way spirit. This cloak adorns a daughter of the King. It is far more valuable than the robes we saw a couple of weeks ago in London when all the folks got fancied up and put a crown on their king's head. Well, there are some pretty looking clothes they had there, real fancy and nice. But those robes are nothing, nothing compared to the cloak of godliness that God gives to His ladies, His daughters. It is far stronger than the armor warriors carry, and it is a cloak which cannot be taken away when worn correctly. Think about that. This cloak of godliness, this strength and honor, cannot be taken away by anybody if it is worn correctly. And another thing the verse talks about, a godly mother and woman uses the wisdom God has given her to not only show kindness, love, and gentleness to those around her, but also to speak encouragement to those who need it. And brothers and sisters, we need encouragement. Every day, things happen to us, things beyond our control. And we get sad, we become anxious, and sometimes we're even doubting. But a loving, nurturing, courageous word of strength given by a godly woman, a godly mother, a godly grandmother, man, I can tell you, it can go a long way to help. This is the law of kindness the text refers to here. A godly mother will instill a deep and strong love for her husband and children. When they need strength and courage, it is not dad who is called for, although sometimes this might occur. When a soldier is wounded on a battlefield and all hope is seeping out after God, who does he usually call for? He calls for Mama. And why is that? Because Mama was the one when he was young and fell and scraped his knee, or even when someone broke his heart, that was there to hug and encourage and strengthen and get them through to the next phase of life. The soldier remembers his mom and her care and her love and longs for it in his dying hour. You know, even now in my own life, there are times of trial and sorrow, and I remember my grandmothers especially. Yes, my mom on occasion, but my grandmothers especially. I really felt they loved and cared for me when I was young. I can often feel their hugs, even now. You know, sometimes when we sing certain songs, there's a song, an old hymn, "I Have a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop." Brothers and sisters, my grandmother would sing that when she was picking corn, shucking corn, picking peas, running peas through that sheller. I don't know if y'all remember this, but they had this invention back in the 1970s called a pea sheller. We'd never seen it before. We'd done everything by hand. And so when we were getting there with these 5-gallon buckets full of peas and butter beans and all kind of things like that, we'd set them down and we'd sunder under these big oak trees. And she'd have an old squirrel cage fan that she got out of a chicken house. And she'd run an extension cord out to it, and it would be blowing while we were sitting under the tree. Folks, July and August in Mississippi is hot. The only time it breaks up is when we have an occasional hurricane, and that's a whole other set of problems. But she would sing Mansion Over the Hilltop. She would sing other things too. But that song in particular, and when I hear that song, my mind hears my grandmother singing. My grandmother, Geraldine Wilkerson. Or as my grandpa called her, Squirrely Dean. She didn't like that for some reason. But we can hear those things. I recall also their sense of love. And I can especially recall, as a Baptist preacher, the smell of their cornbread coming right out of the oven. That hot iron skillet. I'm telling you, there's things I hope we get to experience in heaven. And at the marriage supper of the Lamb, I hope grandmothers get to serve cornbread to their grandchildren. That's up to God. I don't know. That's just an I wish. Okay? But brothers and sisters, I recall their words of wisdom. You know, my other grandmother, who could cook a mean pan of bread too, she taught me how to deal with things, because there were some things that I could not share with my parents that I didn't want my parents finding out. But I knew my grandmother wouldn't squeal on me. And I would talk to her. And we would talk. We would do things like hunt fossils in a big old rock bed. We would sit on the front doorstep of my uncle's house and count cars as they drove by. We would pick blackberries together. We would do all these things. And she would talk to me and she would ask me pointed questions about how things were going. And if she felt that she could give some godly advice, she would. She would teach me how that I should forgive others when they do something mean to me. How I should always keep Jesus as the focus of my life. And she was talking to anywhere between the time I was 8 and the time I was 13. After 13, one of them passed and the other got to a point where she couldn't do the things we did. So, brothers and sisters, when you search your memories for things that godly mothers and godly grandmothers and godly women have done in your life, remember them, cherish them, honor them, and love them. Not just the memories, but continue to love those that God has given you. Now, the text also reminds us that godly women and mothers take care of their households. Folks, this is a lost art for many. I know that many women have to work all day and are tired. A loving husband will help them when he can. But you know, he may be tired also. The woman or the man who says things like, "Well, they're on their own," that's selfishness. That's not a godly characteristic. Godliness says, "Let's get them done," or "Let's get this done," whether you be a man or a woman. When there's work to be done, a godly person does it. And how do we know this? Because it says that idleness is not found. A godly woman is not idle. This means that a godly mother will be busy with what God has given her to do. It may not mean she's just doing housework all day long. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking care of your family in the role that God has given you. She doesn't sit on the couch all day eating ice cream and watching the young and the useless. Folks, y'all know what I'm talking about. That's a caricature, okay? And there's nothing wrong if you want to take a break sitting down and watching some of that stuff. But I gave that stuff up a long time ago. Well, maybe not the ice cream, but that's a whole other story. And men, this applies to us. We don't need to sit in the basement and play video games and watch the internet when we could be doing something that God has given us to do. We need to sit and be men. But that's coming Father's Day, so y'all watch for it. God wants us to work for His kingdom and for our families. We are not to be lazy and selfish. That's the whole point of that proverb. We are to strive each day to eat our bread and take care of our homes. Godly wives and godly husbands work together to raise their children. What? In the fear of the Lord. And part of this is not to be idle. Don't teach your children to be lazy. That's one thing I think my family can do. We have taught Christine not to be lazy. If there's something to be done, we need to do it. We need to get it done. Why? Because once it's finished, then we can rest and enjoy the fruit of what we have done. Men and women, we need to work together and not be idle. And we are together before the throne of God, the throne of God Almighty, in His and for His kingdom. Godly women, that's who you serve. That is your king. Yes, you work and serve with your husband. The Bible has a lot to say about that. But the number one thing you do is serve the Lord. And serve Him with gladness and thankfulness. Now, I understand that this text points to the ideal godly mother and woman. This is the way it should be, but not necessarily the way it is, because there are a lot of factors that old Solomon didn't understand we were going to have during this time that we have now. But the principles of what we have seen in the text are very important for both men and women, as we have said. No one will be perfect in every endeavor, but we must work towards it at all times. All times we need to understand whom we serve and what we are doing. And I do believe that my generation and older generations have pretty much failed in this endeavor. Oh yes, there are moments and times when we strive and reach this ideal. But a lot of times, because of what the world does and because of the situations in our lives, we are not ideal. The younger generation, honestly, are turning their backs on God. Where God used to be the primary focus, other things, imitations, have spoiled our children. And we as parents, as godly mothers and fathers, have failed at this for the most part. Always exceptions. And we always strive to do what we can. But there is no sense that God can make a difference in a life in our younger generation. And there's no repentance and no regret for sin. It's like if we point out something that they did that was wrong, it's like, and I'm speaking in generalities here, oh well, so what? But brothers and sisters, didn't we do that in our generation? When someone, a godly parent or a godly teacher pointed out, you know, if you do this, you're going to end up being in a bad situation. We did it. But we had a godly generation that would still tell us about the fear of God. They would still point out the sins that we had in our life and would point us to Christ. But why does the younger generation feel this? Because we as parents have not modeled this in our own lives. We have neglected our duties to the Father, both men and women. We have in some part, as a society, now remember, I'm speaking as generalities here, we have rejected our true need for the Son of God. We have shunned the indwelling Holy Spirit in favor of the world. We want what the world has to offer, whether it be wealth or material possessions or opportunities or power or greed or lust, whatever it may be. We have opted as mothers and fathers to think that's more important than serving the King. Well, I just got one question. When you pass, when you die, is it those people that are going to be judging you? Is it those people who are going to demand answers for every idle word and bad thought you've had? No. But you see, we as Christians, our debt has been paid. Our hope is in Christ, in Christ alone. The world has no hope. So everything that was written in the books that will be opened at the great white throne will show everything that we have neglected to teach about. Mothers, fathers, please teach your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren the importance of knowing the living God. For He is the Savior and the Redeemer and the one who gives eternal life. God will hold us accountable. Now I want to switch back. Well, let me say this. When I say about the generations, why do I say that? Because we see the results of our neglect. We see the results of putting other things above God. And it's not a pretty picture. It's not. So what do? Let us repent and go after those we love in the sense that we tell them the truth of the gospel, the love of God through Christ the Lord, and the power to live and love in a godly way through the Holy Spirit. Now, ladies, women, mothers and grandmothers, I charge you this day to be godly women of godly character with godly actions. You want to know what godly actions I'm talking about? Go back and read today's text. And look to the examples, biblical examples, but also the godly examples in your life. Imitate them if they follow Christ. As we were talking about in the lobby this morning, folks, 2023 is almost half over. We got through the COVID, we got through all kind of political mess, and I'm telling you, time, the older I get, the faster and faster and faster it flees. And even though I'm in my mid-50s, I'm not promised tomorrow. I have to be prepared. And godly mothers, part of the responsibility that God gives you is to prepare those children by what you teach them, by how you live your life, to understand that there is a God in heaven, there is a Savior who died for them, there is a Savior who was resurrected for them, and is coming again to judge the living and the dead, including them. Brothers and sisters, live your faith outright, not hidden, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power and the salvation for all who hear and believe it. Your Father, ladies, the King of the universe, is with you to love you, guide you, and help you carry out what He has given you to do. Let us not disappoint Him. This goes for men and women. Let us not disappoint the King. Let's not disappoint God. Let us please the Lord in all we do, all we say, and in all we think. So women of God, this charge I give you, go forth and be women of God for all the world to see. Now as I close this, praise team, you can come on up. We're going to give the invitation, but then I'm going to ask the mothers and the grandmothers, the sisters, all ladies, to join me here in front, and I want to pray a special blessing for you this Mother's Day after we finish the invitation. Let's pray. Father God, you see your daughters before you. You see them gathered to receive your blessing, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that you will bless them. You will give them strength. You will give them wisdom. And you will give them the courage to face what they have to face this day. And Lord, I know that they will be a blessing to all those you send to their past, whether it be of their household or whether it be friends or acquaintances or their extended family, Father. Let them continue to be a blessing and to be servants of their Father, the King. And Lord God, we put them into your hands, and we ask that they will bless continually, not just today, not just this week, but until you call them into your presence. We thank you for the influence they have given. We thank you for the love that they have shown. And Lord, we do this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. We are dismissed. Thank you.